The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
It might happen. I might spontaneously combust today. For some, you're saying, amen. Praise the Lord. It's about time. And for others, just saying, no, don't do it. I have no control over that anyway. So don't worry about it. Hey, how are you? Nice to be here. God bless America. And let's hope that's possible these days. Okay, it is Theology Thursday. So we are going to get to, there's a couple things I want to go through at the beginning. Okay, just because I want to go through them because they're important. And then we're going to dive into what we are affectionately calling, now it's being called this by other places. This was in the New York Times just, when was this? I think just yesterday, July 6th, 2 days ago, New York Times. New York Times, Sermongate, in air quotes, Sermongate prompts a quandary. Should pastors borrow words from one another? Subtitle, the new leader of the Southern Baptist Convention, his name is Ed Litton, by the way, has delivered sermons containing passages from those of his predecessor, causing a furor. His predecessor being J.D. Greer, who's the pastor of the Summit Church Network here in the North Carolina area. So we're going to get into that, and that's where we're going to spend most of our time today. What do you do with that? Should Ed step down? Should the executive committee of the Southern Baptist Convention fire him? Should he have been fired already? He ascended to this position by a narrow vote just last month because the Southern Baptist Convention every 2 years basically switches out the president. And that's a vote of all the delegates that come from various churches around the country. And he won that. Okay. He's known to be kind of a moderate. J.D. Greer was young blood, new blood. The previous presidents, old blood, the kind of the older conservative, uber conservative, culture warrior a bit-ish. And then J.D. was you know, the younger half of the Southern Baptist Convention, much more nuanced. And then we go to Ed Litton in the Southern Baptist Convention, Redemption Church in Mobile, Alabama, who's more moderate. But now you got this whole situation where, and we're going to play the clip for you in the second half, or the second segment of the show, and it will make you uncomfortable because it's just almost word for word. Just ripping it off. And it's not like he stood in the pulpit and said, hey, just to let you know, a little FYI, that just about everything I'm going to say today from the pulpit, I've pulled from another pastor. He didn't say that, okay? So we're going to get into that. So what do you do with that? And people are going ballistic about evangelicals voting for Trump, but what about this kind of thing? So we're going to deal with that. But I put something up on Facebook earlier today, didn't know it had been resolved, and I praise the Lord that it had been resolved. Originally, this came out on June 20th. IRS rejected the tax-exempt status of a Christian nonprofit group because Bible teachings are typically affiliated with the Republican Party, right, you rascally Republicans. So the Internal Revenue Service denied a Christian nonprofit group tax-exempt status, a 501c3 is what that is, like a church. That's what my radio ministry is, a 501c3. Here's what the IRS agents sent back to them. Quote, specifically, you educate Christians on what the Bible says in areas where they can be instrumental, including the areas of sanctity of life, the definition of marriage, biblical justice, freedom of speech, defense and borders, and immigration, U.S. and Israel relations. Read a letter from IRS exempt organizations director Stephen Martin to Christians engaged in nonprofit groups seeking tax exempt status. Quote, back to his letter. The Bible teachings are typically affiliated with the Republican Party and candidates. This disqualifies you from exemption under IRC Section 501c3. So you guys are going to talk about these issues, which means you're Republican, which means you're taking a political stand for one party over another, one candidate over another, which means you cannot be a 501c3. You're rejected. Okay? So this is the exact, if you're going to do that, if the IRS is going to institute this level of scrutiny and unlawfulness and a total disregard for the U.S. Constitution and the freedom the Bill of Rights gives us, especially a religious expression, then I should be like first in line, or first of many, first of hundreds, if not thousands, of Christian organizations that should get the boot and lose their tax-exempt status. Clearly. So when I put this story up on Facebook earlier today, so First Liberty Institute got involved. So this was back. This came out June 20th, okay? So this came out, and I was absolutely infuriated and incensed. And here's the problem. Things can happen so quickly in this nation that things turn around. You just don't know it. So when I wrote this earlier today, because I was really torqued off, here's what I said. Based on this idiot's opinion, the tax-exempt status the tax-exempt status of nearly every Christian organization in America should be immediately revoked, since you can align them with one party or the other based on certain biblical teachings they promote or discuss. Catholic Church, busted. Protestant Church, busted. Pregnancy resource centers, busted. Christian adoption agencies, busted. Christian homeless service shelters, busted. Christian disaster relief organizations, busted, because you guys teach things that normally align with the Republican Party. Therefore, you're a political organization. You're busted. Christian hospitals, busted. Christian radio, like me, totally busted. Christian websites, busted. Okay, class, think for just a moment. Who could possibly be behind a partisan, quote-unquote, Democrat, effort to silence every Christian voice or platform or organization in America? That would be Satan. Remember that, church lady? Satan himself, of course, with some mindless Democrat bureaucrat as his sock puppet. You better fight back. And let's go to the upside. Somebody did. Praise the Lord. Okay. So here's the story that just came out yesterday, July 7th. This was in WorldNet Daily. The title, Did Hell Just Freeze Over? IRS Repents, Now Says Bible Is Not Just Republican. You can't make this stuff up. Officials with the Internal Revenue Service have backtracked on their claims that a Texas organization wasn't qualified for a tax-exempt status because the Christian ideas it pursues are associated with the Republican Party. Several members of Congress instructed the Treasury Department's Inspector General to look into the decision when the controversy arose. Thank you. One of those is a friend of the program. Stay tuned. First Liberty, which worked on behalf of Christian Engages, said the IRS has reversed itself and now has granted the requested status to the group. Wow, thanks. Quote, this is truly great news for our client as well as religious organizations and churches across America, said Leah Patterson, counsel for First Liberty Institute. The manipulation of IRS designations for various conservative Christian and Tea Party style groups dates back to, remember this, the Obama administration, when federal agents badgered faith organizations they wanted to operate with unreasonable requests for details. It was delay, delay, delay to get the other side of the 2012 election. So who got into it on behalf of, I don't know, the rule of law, the Constitution and religious freedom? That would be Representative Jim Jordan from Ohio and our good friend, Representative Mike Johnson from Louisiana, who's been on this show many, many times and has been a friend for years. Praise the Lord for fighting back. We'll be right back after this. Whoa, 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 whoa. Easy there, Bee Gees. Easy there. Get it under control, you crazy Australians. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. Feeling a little punchy today, a little snarky. That's what happens when you get the leftovers from Hurricane, what is it? Hurricane Elsa? What is it? Tropical Storm Elsa? Just let it go. Oh, that was a terrible joke. Sorry. Good to be back, and God bless you. So we were talking about this story about religious freedom, and praise the Lord. So the lesson there, if you didn't hear it, is fight back. Hit back. Like Paul knew his rights as a Roman citizen, know your rights. And we should be willing to exercise those and fight for them, okay? So that's good. Let's set that aside and move on to today's focus on Theology Thursday, which is Sermongate 2021. Okay, so we have the newly elected president of the Southern Baptist Convention. Obvious case here of plagiarism, Ed Litton. He's facing calls for his resignation. He was elected last month. I would call him a moderate. He recently acknowledged borrowing some sermon material with permission from immediate past SBC president J.D. Greer of the Summit Church in the Raleigh area. And Greer confirmed that statement. However, since that declaration, Litton's critics from the far right of the SBC have continued to dig through his sermon archives and charged that he repeatedly lifted sermons almost verbatim from Greer. A YouTube channel has been created to highlight side-by-side video comparisons. So Litton's church, Redemption Church, near Mobile, Alabama, recently removed 140 videos of Litton's sermons from its website and posted this explanation, right? That doesn't look good. So here's what their post was. By the action of the leadership of Redemption Church, we have taken down sermon series prior to 2020 because people were going through sermons in an attempt to discredit and malign our pastor. It is our highest priority to care for and shepherd our church. The situation dubbed Sermongate by Litton's critics has put a spotlight on the unspoken practice of sermon, quote-unquote, borrowing, often without citation, by some pastors. The present case has become a controversy that it made the New York Times this week. That was the other story I mentioned. Sermongate, here's the New York Times story. Sermongate prompts a quandary. Should pastors borrow words from another? Like, when you crank out a sermon, should that be copyrighted? Should it be protected? And if some other pastor grabs it and uses it without crediting you? Like, if Ed Litton had gotten up, well, hold on. Let me just set the stage. Seth, are we ready? You guys got to hear this. This is about 2 minutes. It's kind of excruciating because what you're going to hear is Pastor J.D. Greer's comments from a sermon on, I think it's Romans chapter 8. And then you're going to hear Ed Litton's comments from his, quote unquote, his sermon on Romans chapter 8. I believe it was chapter 8. And just judge for yourself. If you haven't seen this or heard this, gird up your loins because it's a little difficult to bear. All right, we ready?
There are two primary things that I believe you and I are to glean from this passage. If you're taking notes, this will be your outline for today. The first is we can see the responsibilities of those who govern. We can see the responsibilities of those who govern. This is, if you will, a kind of job description for the government.
I want to talk about two things this morning. I want to talk about the responsibility of government.
The second thing you'll see, and this is the most important part, the responsibility of those who are governed. That's most of us.
And I want to talk about the responsibility of the governed.
You think that many of our leaders are batty, and for good cause, I might add. But Caligula, who was Caesar around this time?
Was a Roman emperor by the name of Caligula.
Caligula was unfit to keep a pet, let alone run an empire.
Now, let me just say up front, he wasn't worthy of having a pet, much less being an emperor.
Let me just run you through a quick laundry list of Caligula's greatest accomplishments. First thing he does when he's in office, when he becomes Caesar, he has his mom and brother killed to make sure that they don't challenge his right to the throne. He openly committed incest with three of his sisters. He frequently would cross-dress and go out in public. He installed his favorite horse, Incititus, as a senator, and then later promoted him to proconsul.
He killed his mother and brother to gain his power. He openly lived in an incestuous relationship with his multiple sisters. He was a cross-dresser. He literally made his horse a Roman senator.
I have to ask, what had the horse done as senator that earned him a promotion to proconsul, right?
Keep listening.
I mean, how do you even vote when you're a horse in the Senate? All in favor say aye. All opposed? Wait for it. Nay, okay? You get it, right?
Watch.
Can you imagine that? A horse, every time the Senate gathered, a horse would walk in. It was the emperor's horse. When they voted, he would say, nay.
Often during gladiatorial
games. All right,
that's enough.
That's enough. Now, that video is how long, Seth? The total video is like 13 minutes, 14 minutes. It's excruciating. At this point, I might rather go get a tooth removed without Novocaine. It's just brutal. So my question for you, and I really want you to call in. Does Ed Litton have a responsibility now to step down? Is he disqualified to be the president of the Southern Baptist Convention? And or should the executive committee of the Southern Baptist Convention remove him? Now, how do they replace him? I don't know. That's not really the point. But what do you think of this? What, a pastor essentially giving the same sermon. Now, with J.D.'s sermons, because we attended the Summit Church for a while, he's an excellent teacher. I don't always agree with him, but he's really a gifted teacher. But he would have, and we used to use these in our small group, you could get the transcript of his sermon like before that weekend. So you got the whole thing right there. I could get on the air and do a whole J.D. Greer sermon and not tell you it's J.D. Greer's sermon. And you'd probably be like, wow, Steve, you've got a whole nother gear of teaching. I didn't know you were that amazing. And my reply would have to be, if I were honest, would be, well, that's because I'm not. That actually isn't my material. I didn't come up with the nay joke. J.D. Greer did. Now, I can tell you this as somebody that went to seminary and got my master's degree there, that I was scared to death of turning in papers where I didn't cite any little thing I grabbed from anybody because they would bounce you out fast, man. They were very serious about that at a Southern Baptist seminary. And Ed Litton went to a Southern Baptist seminary, I assume. And so then his church pulls 140 videos down because their pastor is being attacked. Well, shouldn't he be? Is that a problem? We're dealing with one issue here biblically is laziness. Another issue here is lying. And another issue here is stealing. And then you've got to be above reproach. As a leader, he's no longer, I don't think he's above reproach. And so I think there's a biblical case that Ed needs to step down or they need to get rid of him. Something needs to happen, but they haven't done anything yet. Not that I'm aware of. So what do you do? What do you think of this? Is it stealing? Is it wrong? Or how can you possibly copyright and protect the teaching of God's word? Don't we want that stuff to be out there? Do we have to play by the same literary rules that we play in the world of academia? What do you do with this Sermon Gate situation? Really interested to see what your thoughts are. 866-348-7884. Or maybe we just forgive, turn the other cheek, forgive them, and move on. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. I'm sure that he hasn't stolen every single sermon. He's probably, he looks my age or older, 55, 60, somewhere in there. Been pastoring for a long time, done a lot of wonderful things for the Lord. I'm sure. I haven't looked into his bio, but I'm sure he has. I have no doubt about that. But in this case, does this disqualify him from leadership, and does it disqualify him from being the pastor of a church? If you found out your pastor in a church was essentially stealing sermons from other pastors, what would you do? Keep them, forgive them, or dump them? So I'm just curious, what's your reaction to this? And I'm not here to bash Ed Litton. I'm not here to rip into anybody else or the SBC. This is just a situation we need to talk about as Christians. This is public, by the way. So this isn't one person to another. This is a public issue with a major leader of one of the biggest denominations in America. 866-348-7884. 866-34-TRUTH. We'll be right back. Back, Ed Litton, the new president of the Southern Baptist Convention, literally doing an entire sermon that he pulled from J.D. Greer, former president of the Southern Baptist Convention. And so that's why we're calling it Sermongate. Sermongate, now it's in the New York Times, a bunch of other places. Should he step down? Should he be fired? Should they just forgive him? Maybe you want to comment on this in general with pastors. And I was trying to remember the name of this online group. It's called the Docent Group, D-O-C-E-N-T, docentgroup.com. Docent Research Group partners with pastors to provide research assistance to lighten their load and help them serve their churches more effectively. We assist with both sermon and sociological research, offering consultations with experienced ministry leaders and producing curriculum. Okay, and J.D. Greer in some article said that he uses this service. A bunch of other big names do. I can see a bunch of people in here. And so that's okay. Hey, I need some research on a word search and a word study on, baptism or heavenly or heart. And so instead of digging in, doing your own sermon prep, you hire somebody else to do a bunch. And there's that. But I want to keep this focused on Ed Litton, the new president of the Southern Baptist Convention. Should he resign? Should he be fired? Or do we forgive and forget and move on? Turn the other cheek, as it were. 866-348-7884 is the number. I would love to hear from you and see what you think here on this one. And again, there are websites and people out there that pretty much make a living after going after the church in one way or another. I'm not one of them, but this is a big issue with an enormous denomination, and it's in the public. So that's why I think it's okay for us to talk about it. And again, I'm not pulling a Salem witch trial here by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm curious what you think. Should he resign? Should he be fired? Or do we just forgive and forget and move on? 866-348-7884 is our number, or 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Michelle calling in here in Cary, North Carolina. Michelle, thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for addressing this issue. I absolutely think that Litton should, that he should step down. If he doesn't, he should be fired. And in my opinion, he should be replaced with the vice president, who I believe actually ran for the presidency against Litton in the recent convention that they had. And here's the issue, besides the fact that it is plagiarism and it's stealing, I think in today's day and age, we desperately need leaders who have a working relationship with the Holy Spirit and who are hearing directly from God. And not only are their lives being convicted, but they are hearing what their sheep need to be hearing. And I think when you just are trying to be impressive or make people laugh or be seen as a great orator or just fill seats and you're not trying to train people in order to live in a very difficult time and in a spiritual battle that is intensifying by the day, I think what is the point of even having leaders if that's not what their goal is going to be?
Right. And from that perspective, why not just start a church and all you do is pull some of the greatest sermons in history and have somebody read them or play them? But then you could do that online. That's not a church. And I really appreciate your point, Michelle, about not relying on the Holy Spirit. Because, if the Holy Spirit may be working with another pastor in that sermon, but you grabbing that sermon, by definition, you're not relying on the Holy Spirit for yourself. You're relying on somebody else's relationship with the Holy Spirit. And you know, in the Western church, I think a lot of people have a problem with even understanding the power of the Holy Spirit. But yeah, it's a huge problem. I agree with you on all your points.
Thank you. And I think, too, I mean, J.D. Greer has not been really firm on a lot of things that even other just parishioners in the Southern Baptist Coalition, I mean, when he did his speech about the fact that God whispers about homosexuality and he whispers about this sexual immorality, I think that's dangerous ground. And as I recall, Litton actually repeated those exact words, saying that God whispers about sin.
Yeah,
he didn't.
He did.
I mean, he screams about it, and he screams about, you know, all of us that need to repent of whatever it is that we're struggling with.
Right.
But to tell anybody that one sin is less than another and don't worry about it, God's going to just turn a blind eye to it, is dangerous ground. It's leading people, you know, to to hell.
Hey, don't worry. Don't worry about that one, Michelle. Yeah,
okay.
I got you. All right, thanks so much for calling in. Great points. I appreciate it.
Sure. Have a good night.
You too. Thanks. Let's jump over to Jimmy. He's calling in from Gastonia, North Carolina. Jimmy, thanks for calling. You're on with Steve. Go right ahead.
How you doing, sir?
Good, man. How are you?
Hey, I'm listening to your broadcast, and I never heard anything like this before. If the guy, if he'll steal a sermon, what else will he steal? I don't think he's in a position to be the leader of any movement for that concern. I think he need to repent. Of course, God is forgiving God.
Sure,
he's already forgiven.
Amen.
There's no problem about that. But I always thought, I've been preaching for over 40 years, and I've never tried to steal anybody's sermon, never wanted to preach anybody else's sermon. I think a preacher ought to want to hear from the Lord, directly from the Lord.
Yeah.
And if he wants to get in the pulpit using somebody else's sermon, that's an obvious sign that he has not been spending any time in the presence of the Lord. So, I mean, how can he lead a denomination of people, man? That's outrageous. You know what I'm saying? So,
absolutely.
You know, he need to go and spend some time with the Lord and go back and, what they call it, do a reset.
Yeah, I mean, and I love that gospel point, Jimmy. You're absolutely right. God's that's already been taken care of on the cross. All he has to do is kind of confess and repent publicly, whether it's a church, which I think is inexcusable, but at the level of the president of the largest Protestant denomination in America, holy cow, that sends a remarkable statement to a watching world that we really don't care about honesty or hard work or hearing from the Lord directly. That's a great point.
And I think it's very important that we as ministers of the gospel or Christians, you know, regardless of whether we're pastors or whatever, should be more aware of what we're doing. And we should be people of integrity. Yeah. And once again, we know that God loves us. He forgives us. But if you're in a leadership position, man, you got to be careful. I don't think if he won't spend no time to get a word from the Lord, then that's a bad example for a leader.
That's
bad
exactly
example
right.
for a preacher. So I would ask him to keep on walking, you know.
Amen.
Go
Amen.
Back and do
Amen.
It right. Move on. Thank
Amen.
You, sir.
Thank you, Jimmy. Appreciate it. Have a great afternoon. Let's jump down to Gary, who's calling in from Greenville, South Carolina. Gary, thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Hi. Thanks for what you're doing. And I'd like to get on the column of the let this go side.
Yes, sir.
And here's a couple of reasons. Here's a couple of reasons. It's well known that several famous preachers started by memorizing the sermons of other preachers and presenting them word for word and with great effect, and eventually starting to write their own. That may or may not really play into this, but it's not a bad thing. The other thing is, like, that thing you played for us, a lot of those little snippets were so short that they're just simply facts from history, apart from the nay joke. And we all repeat other people's jokes. Apart from the nay joke, those were very short little things that could have easily been said by many people many times without really plagiarizing. I think longer sections should be.
Yeah, I think, and that, let me just speak to that right quick, because that's a great point, and I appreciate you saying it. The video comparison goes, it goes back and forth for about 15 minutes. And if it's something that it's just a common fact, a common piece of history, I understand your point and I agree with it. But when you have back and forth and back and forth for 15 minutes, then it becomes pretty obvious that, okay, this is essentially, you change a little here, you change a little there, but it's essentially the same thing.
Were those back and forth all synchronized? Were those all synchronized in time, or were they taken from different
They were synchronized in terms of, this is towards the beginning of the sermon, this is the middle of the sermon, this is the end of the sermon. So the flow of the sermons was
gotcha.
The same. Yeah. But
yeah,
I understand
so it doesn't
your point.
Look great. It doesn't look great. But there is also, I heard you say that there is J.D. Greer on record saying, you know, I have his permission, or I've given my permission.
Yeah.
So that's another thing to take into account. And, you know, I'm afraid that there may be some political motivations in making this attack so strongly by some of the folks that would like to take his position.
Sure.
And so there's a lot in here. It's kind of complex. I just don't think it should be so quite cut and dry necessarily.
Yeah, and I think that's a good word for all of us, Gary, on pretty much every topic that comes up in the news cycle these days, because everything's so polarized, everything is so politicized that we don't nuance anything. We shoot first and we ask questions second. And we can do that in the church as well as the conference. Yep. Oh, imagine that.
I'll be praying for God's outcome.
Yes. Praise the Lord for that. And what a crazy idea that is. Thanks, Gary. God bless you. And imagine that we actually pray. These moments come up every once in a while, and we're like, oh, yeah, that. Does the Bible whisper about praying, by the way? Okay, bad joke. Sorry. But that's the thing. So we're going to hit the break in about 30 seconds. If you want to call back in for the fourth segment, that would be great. Your thoughts on this. Should he step down? Should he be fired? Something a little bit stronger. Or do we forgive and forget, like Gary was just talking about? But when we come back, I'm going to pray over this situation. We'll do that together. Gary, thank you for bringing that up. And we'll pray for these men, for the leadership, for all of our pastors and ourselves, for that matter. If we're going to be people of the book, that means we're people of truth. And if we're people of truth, that doesn't come and go with the wind or the day or the time. You're supposed to be truthful all the time. And I know that all of us struggle with that, myself included. This is Steve Noble. We'll pick it up there when we come back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, thestevenobleshow.com. That's N-O-B-L-E if you're newer to the program. Thestevenobleshow.com. If you're like, wow, I kind of like this. This is entertaining and getting right at it. I appreciate this. Then you can grab the podcast. I've been at this for a while. We started in November of 2007, if you can believe that, on Saturdays. Spent 3 years on Saturdays. Then got off the air for a little while. Had a Godfather Part 3 just when I thought I was out. They pulled me back in. And got back on the air doing daily radio starting in late February 2011 and have been at it ever since. So I've been at it for a while, and the majority of the things that I say on the air are actually mine. It's just me in here reacting and talking and thinking out loud, okay? And then when I pull things, then the show, I should tell you that, like this. I just found this. This is on Carrie Newhoff, I think that's probably how it's pronounced, .com, which is a blog that looks like a pastor. About the issue, not specific to Ed Litton, the new president of the SBC, who basically took a whole J.D. Greer sermon. And there, in one story, it says that J.D. said yes. Litton recently acknowledged borrowing some sermon material with permission from immediate past SBC president J.D. Greer, and Greer confirmed that statement. However, since that declaration, Litton's critics from the far right of SBC have continued to dig through his sermon archives and charged that he repeatedly lifted sermons almost verbatim from Greer. So I think it was Gary who called in earlier saying, well, listen, there's some things out there that is like, that's not copyrightable. The sun rises in the east, it sets in the west. Well, I heard Pastor so-and-so say that. Right? There's some things that are just obvious facts, public domain. You don't need to quote anybody. The United States of America is a representative republic. I don't need to quote anybody on that, right? So there's that. But then what do you do when you're actually pulling an entire sermon? So this from Looking for an Easy Sermon, Five Reasons Not to Do It. This is KerryNewhoff.com. I found this point number four had some really great things in it on this particular issue. Number four, you lose touch with God. This is what the pastor called in and said. When you plagiarize, he writes, you lose touch with God in at least two significant ways. First, the sins of lying and stealing are themselves a barrier. Confession stands between you and God. That's kind of, so the more in sin we are, unrepentant, unconfessed sin, and you're a believer, then you're damaging your relationship. It's like when your child sins against you or you sin against your child, all of a sudden, it's not like you stop being their dad and they stop being your son or daughter, right? That remains. For me, I remain a Christian, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, born again through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and my faith in him, okay? So when I sin and I don't confess it, that relationship is not destroyed. But the health of that relationship is affected, just like it is in real life. So we have a problem with your son, your daughter, your wife, your husband, and it's unreconciled. It causes a problem, right? Communication is damaged, all that stuff. You avoid eye contact. Same thing happens in our relationship with the Lord. That's why 1 John 1:9, we confess, right? And God will cleanse us of all unrighteousness. He already does, but then the relationship needs to be restored, okay? So that's that point. First, the sins of lying and stealing are themselves a barrier. Second, stealing ideas required zero reliance, to the pastor's point, on the Holy Spirit for inspiration, direction, courage, or insights. Yes, you're relying on what the Holy Spirit did in somebody else's life. In this case, it was Ed Litton was relying on what the Holy Spirit did with Pastor J.D. Greer when Pastor J.D. Greer spent lots of time and prepared a sermon. And then Ed comes in and goes, wow, that's great. Do you mind if I use some of it? Now, I don't know. I would imagine Pastor Greer would probably be a little shocked or disappointed, whatever adjective you want to use, when you find out, well, use some points. Okay, I didn't know you were going to use like the whole thing. Because to me, that's like, okay, stealing. All right, that's a problem. So this writer, Newhoff, second, stealing ideas required zero reliance on the Holy Spirit for inspiration, direction, courage, or insights. And if a pastor is not relying on the Holy Spirit, should that pastor become the head of an entire denomination? Probably not. Ironically, in trying to make your content better, you've made it worse. This is this blogger. You've robbed it of its true power. The real power in preaching comes not from our words, but from what God does with our words. Do the hard work. You and everyone around you would be better for it. And then number five, it creeps into other areas of your life. I don't know for sure, but I think it's generally true that when you compromise in one area of your life, it doesn't take much to start compromising in other areas. Can I get an amen? This is from Kerry Newhoff. Sin is like a weed. This is a great line. It grows fast and you never have to water it, right? Can I get another amen? So it's one thing in a church. It's another thing all of a sudden it's somebody that's running the denomination, right? The head of the denomination. But what do you think? Should fire him, step down, or forgive and forget and move on? 866-348-7884. We still have about 6 minutes, so that's plenty of time. If you want to call in and chime in on this, I would love that and appreciate it. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. And listen, we are, the SBC's going through some challenges right now. Pushed hard to the right, pushed to the left. Do you, the younger leadership, the older leadership, does Christianity have generally a problem with our image to a watching world here in America? Sure. Some of that's deserved. Some of it's just bogus. Remember that when unbelievers attack the church, because their deeds are dark and they don't want to be exposed to the light. So there's some spiritual things going on there, but there are occasionally true things. You guys are this, you guys are that, you do this, you do this. Okay, you're right. And there's other times when they're going to use anything they can to degrade the church because the church represents a plumb line, a moral plumb line, in a salvific plumb line. And when you're lost, you don't want that. Unless the Holy Spirit's moving in your life, then you're all for it. But that's up to the Lord. So do we have an image problem? Yeah. And the SBC is having some challenges. I think they should have already come out and said, yep, not above reproach. That's a problem. You can't lead with that kind of issue. God bless you, brother, for all years of service. But we need to deal with this and set an example. And we love you and pray for you and forgive you and we move on. and we'll replace him, right? Let's go to Chris, who's calling in from Raleigh, North Carolina. Chris, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks for having me. I tuned in late, so I don't know if this was covered, but, you know, an interesting take. I've been reading a lot of articles, and it's all about Ed. It's all about, you know, Ed plagiarizing JD.
Yeah.
But is it possible that both Ed and JD are simply just getting the same sermon transcripts from
somebody else?
Docent research group.
Right. Yeah. Docent. And that's,
I mean, because if you think about it, if Docent is putting out, you know, sort of a map, so to speak,
and, right,
you know, all these pastors are just kind of filling in the blanks. Well, you know, that could look like plagiarism.
Right.
If JD is covering the material first, but
right,
how do we know that JD is actually writing his transcript?
Yes. So the wormhole gets a little bit deeper in that case. And when you look at something with Docent, listen, if you're a pastor and you're too busy to be able to do your own sermon prep and your own work, then I would just say you're too busy. Because his number one job should be to prepare a message to feed the sheep, to prepare them for the work of the ministry, right? Or am I off there? What do you think about that?
Well, I think we have a problem where we have CEOs as pastors nowadays, and
right,
as we know with any business, the CEO makes big decisions, high-level decisions, and they're often not the ones who are actually, you know, creating the PowerPoint.
Yeah.
They may give the talking points, they may present the PowerPoint, but they're not the ones that are actually putting it together. And I think that's a very sad state for, you know, for the church and,
yep,
you know, in general, just, you know, how are you confident that your pastor is preaching, you know, Holy Spirit-led messages?
Right.
You know, and the other thing, too, is just, in general, there's just no transparency in these mega churches. I mean, I've attended the summit for a number of years, and I'm no longer, a member there. But, you know, how much does Pastor JD actually make? You know, how much money is the staff raking in? I think they'll give you a high-level figure, but they won't give you position-by-position figures,
right,
you know?
Right, yeah.
Is JD make a reasonable salary, or does he make $500,000 a year? No one knows.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point in terms of transparency. And listen, if we're going to hire somebody and give them a script and give them things to say, and we hire them because they look great, they sound great, and they perform well in front of the lights, then aren't we Hollywood at that point? Didn't we just hire an actor? As opposed to a person that's digging and somebody that's walking with the Lord and seeking his face. And yes, using resource materials, absolutely. But you're doing the work, you're creating the script with the power of the Holy Spirit, and then you come up and present where the Lord has led you. I think that's the way it should be done.
Well, with all the social justice warrior, you know, activism going on and all of the critical race theory that they're claiming they're not pushing, but they're still pushing, you know, it just makes it even more interesting, because are they just parroting other people's actual thoughts and beliefs,
right,
and talking,
right,
points?
Yeah, and that's the challenge. And then, you know, the main thing is no longer the main thing at that point. Chris, I really appreciate your call. Great points, man. Thanks so much.
No problem. Thanks for having me. All right.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Let's jump over to Deborah's calling in from North Carolina. Deborah, I've got about a minute and a half. Go ahead.
Hey, Steve. I don't know if you can hear me or not.
I got you. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say that I saw this story on a podcast called Conversations That Matter. And, of course, it questioned Linton and his copying of JD, but that JD possibly copied some of that Roman series right out of a Paul David script book. So whose experience are we really relying on,
right,
when he quotes about that he saw this, you know, and felt that? And as far as the plagiarism in general, I think the deception isn't just between one pastor and another and copying another pastor. It's with the parishioners who are sitting there and listening to you and,
yeah,
thinking that you are meeting with God and that you are, you know, wisely leading,
right,
and sharing.
Yep. That's a great point. Deborah, I'm up against the clock, but those are great points. I appreciate you calling in today.
Have a great day, Steve. Bye-bye.
Thanks. You too. Bye-bye. Andrew, I wish I could get to you. I'm just out of time. But it's a worthy subject. We'll continue to talk about it. How deep does the rabbit hole go? Well, with our sin, it can go awfully deep. We need to be praying about that. I'm going to pray with my Facebook Live and YouTube Live folks when we're done here for these pastors. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, we'll talk again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.